Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. So if you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy.
Today, we're wrapping up our series on signposts, where we've been looking at some of the stories in the book of John, where John lays out the signs that Jesus shared. These stories point to the fact that Jesus is who he says he is. We've been looking at the story through the eyes of someone who might have been Jesus' best friend. He tells the stories of many of these interactions with a man that some people called rabbi or teacher. Many felt that he was more than that. Many felt that he was going to free the Jews from the Romans, that this Jesus was going to become the king that they'd always been looking for. And I think as John was living it, he thought the same thing. But after this whole Jesus story unfolded, he came to realize that he missed signs along the way. It was his perspective that brings the reader of this book insight. John lays down this path to show us different signs to help us see that Jesus is who he says he is. He lays all these signs down in forms of stories. It was this idea that there was something more than just the story. There was more to the miracles, more to the healings. All these signs point to what's behind the sign, the real thing. John desperately wants us to meet the real person behind these signs. Now, if you've missed any of these messages, I encourage you to head back to our channel on YouTube and watch any of the ones that you may want to catch up on. This story that we're going to look at today would lead to the last sign that we talked about at Easter. This sign has left little doubt that Jesus is who he says he is. This sign that we're going to look at was going to put a huge target on the back of Jesus. Now, apart from dying and rising from the dead, this would be the most spectacular one. Today we'll be in John chapter 11. Feel free to turn there now if you might want to follow along in your Bibles or on your YouVersion apps. Now, John takes some time to tell this story, this last sign that was leading to the cross. Jesus' life was in danger before this happened, but after the sign, his enemies were really after him. But Jesus knew what he was doing. What Jesus is about to do ticked off the wrong people. I think they felt he was getting too much of a following. People were really believing in him, and his enemies had to do something about this man who's becoming more and more popular. The people were looking to Jesus for guidance and not to them. So we pick up our story today. We find Jesus and his disciples outside of Jerusalem in safety, avoiding the religious leaders who want Jesus dead. John begins chapter 11 with some facts. He tells us that a man named Lazarus was sick. John tells us that these people who sent this message were close to Jesus. This isn't some unknown person. He wasn't some random follower. He's so close, it seems like all they have to do is just ask Jesus to come over, and Jesus comes. So Lazarus' sisters send Jesus a message. And this is what they simply say: "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." They don't even use his name. Just by saying this, Jesus would know who he was. And if you're going to help anyone out, it would be your friends, right? Jesus heard his friend was very sick, but his response tells us it seems like he's not that concerned. John writes in verse 4, "When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.'" This is an interesting thing to say if Jesus was just a good man, but catch what he's saying. This whole story is happening for God's Son. He's saying, "This is for me to be glorified." That's a bold statement. It's almost like Jesus is taking this opportunity to make a sign for himself. But I'm sure this is confusing for Mary and Martha. You say that you love them, but you're not acting like you love them right now. But he does this for a reason that we'll find out later. But Jesus didn't panic and head there right away. He waited. But he didn't wait a few hours, but days. two more days. Then John records that Jesus starts this interaction with his disciples, and some there had a tough time connecting all these ideas. John tells us that 2 days later, Jesus just says, it seems to be out of the blue, okay, let's go to Judea, which surprised the disciples a bit. They're thinking, Jesus, why do you want to go there? The last time you were there, they tried to kill you. Jesus, they threw rocks. People who throw stones sometimes don't always hit the person they want to hit. And I'm sure they thought, okay, Jesus, we don't know if we want to go with you. They might be aiming at you, but they might hit us. They needed a little help convincing. So to convince them, John says that this is how Jesus replied. There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. What? If I were there, I'd be turning to the guy beside me and saying, were we just talking about people trying to kill Jesus? What's this light and dark talk? That speech did not convince me at all to follow Jesus to Judea and face some rocks. Theologians tell us that Jesus is talking about a few things. One of the things that Jesus is doing is encouraging people to take advantage of the opportunity in front of them. Jesus is showing his disciples that they need to look for an opportunity to bring life to the world. We know that opportunity rarely knocks twice. Jesus is saying, my presence there can make a difference now. He's also telling his followers that he was the light and they should follow him. And it won't always be easy. I think he was showing them that following Jesus can be dangerous, but following Jesus is the safest place to be. I think in our world, we really value safety. I'm sure the disciples valued it as well. We see here, they didn't like flying stones, but Jesus is challenging them, take a risk and see what he could do if they followed him. Maybe Jesus is still challenging his followers to take risk and go somewhere you might not feel safe. Jesus tells his followers to go into all the world and make disciples. What dangerous places in your world need Jesus? Now maybe your dangerous places don't involve flying rocks from angry people, but maybe it involves you getting in relationships with others who might not think like you, or maybe in places where the light of Jesus needs to shine. We see Jesus trying to clear things up a little bit in this next verse. In verse 11, he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. This still makes it look like these disciples don't want to go with him. They're sort of giving an excuse. Well, Jesus, just so you know, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. If we go, we'll probably wake him up, and that wouldn't be good. I think this is a little funny. They've Googled Lazarus's symptoms, and they're giving advice to the one who created him. Jesus is setting the example to his followers. He's giving the plot of the gospel. Jesus is willing to go into a hostile environment to bring what is dead to life. Where do you see death in the lives of the people around you? How is Jesus calling you to bring life to those in your life? Is there someone you live, work, study, or play with that is so desperate that they feel like there is no way out? How can you go into that place, into their world, to bring life that they're so desperately looking for? If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, don't forget that he desperately wants us to help bring the spiritually dead to life. How are we doing in helping others find that life? These guys weren't getting the message that Lazarus had died. So Jesus tells them what this is all about. Verse 14, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Finally, some clear communication. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. He really has to spell it out for these guys. He says, Lazarus is dead. And then he says, for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you'll really believe. Believe in what? After hearing all this, one of the disciples, named Thomas, turns to the guys around him and says, let's go to and die with Jesus. He thinks this is a terrible idea, but if Jesus is doomed, he might as well be doomed too. Sure, the frustration at Mary and Martha's house is growing. They knew that they gave Jesus the message and he's still not there. I can't imagine being Lazarus's family. They've asked. They know that Jesus can heal. They've seen it happen. It seems like Jesus is ignoring them. No response. He's so close. Why can't he just come? Have you ever been there? You've asked for your miracle and it feels like you've been put on hold. You've made that call and you get the annoying computer message. Your call is important to us. I always think that if my call was important, someone would pick up my call. And that's one thing for your cable provider to treat you like this, but not the one you've committed your life to. So Jesus and his disciples, they traveled this short distance to Bethany, to where their mourning friends were. And when he got there, he was told something he knew all along. He was told that Lazarus had already been dead and buried for 4 days. Now, Jesus waited 2 days after he was first told about Lazarus' sickness, and then he leaves for Bethany. That means he was already dead when Jesus got the message. If Jesus left at that point, he still could have raised him from the dead, but he waited 2 more days. But Jesus finally shows up. But he's not about to face the religious leaders who want him dead, but some pretty disappointed women. Jesus first faces Martha. She comes with her disappointment. She tells him what she's really thinking. She says, "Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." I love how blunt and honest Martha is. She's sharing her heartfelt and deep disappointment with Jesus. "Jesus, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died." That's not for dumping a heavy weight on Jesus. It wasn't as simple, "Hey, if you'd only have showed up on time, the funeral casseroles wouldn't be cold." Nope. You didn't show up and someone died. She felt that if Jesus just cared enough, if he really loved him, he would have taken the short trip, risked his life, and had been there. Ever felt like that? Ever been disappointed with God? That Jesus just missed something in your life? "You know, Jesus, we prayed and it seems like you were late or you didn't even show up at all." If you've ever felt that, know that Jesus' close friends have felt that too. I love that she's brutally honest with Jesus. I think that we have to learn to be honest with God. I know God can take it. There's no faking God. Jesus can take your disappointment. There's actually history to this. If you read through the Psalms, some of the things that those authors share are shocking. Even in the Old Testament, God wanted people to be brutally honest with him. God wants us. God wants us to be that person God wants to be that person you're most honest with. Jesus wants to hear your pain. Jesus wants to do life with you. If you're hurt, he wants to hear about it. He actually already knows. You're not going to surprise him. But he knows that there is something healing about processing it, saying it out loud. And just so you know, if you're happy, he wants to hear that too. But isn't that what having a relationship is all about? Sharing the good and the bad? But here, Martha is learning something about Martha. Martha teaches us that what stirs up emotion in you tells you something about you. Mary and Martha were hurt because Jesus didn't show up. They felt abandoned. They felt they had to go through this pain all by themselves. Maybe they had some abandonment issues. But in this raw, honest emotion, Jesus shows up and meets them in their pain to give them life. I love Martha because even in her worst pain, she had faith that Jesus could turn around. Listen to her faith. Verse 22. "But even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said. "He will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." Martha was about to realize that this man she'd been following was about to show her a sign that he was much more than maybe she ever imagined. Because what Jesus said next was going to change her perspective on everything. This is what Jesus told her in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. What would it have been like to hear this for the first time? Martha had just lost her brother. She thought Jesus could do something about it. And at this point, it's been 4 days. All hope was gone. Jesus didn't show up when they needed him the most. She's standing there in her hurt, in her pain, and in her disappointment. Martha probably thought that eternal life was this abstract idea. Martha thought victory over death was something that was going to happen. And Jesus showed her that victory over death can happen right now. Do you think she noticed what Jesus said? The first thing that you might notice is that he called himself I Am. This is one of the 7 references of Jesus calling himself I Am in John's book. This is a reference to the Old Testament story where God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let his people go. And Moses asks God in this interaction, well, who should I tell them that sent me? And God said, tell them I am sent you. Jesus was using the exact same words. And those paying attention would understand that Jesus was calling himself God. It's quite the claim. After Jesus shares this, Martha tells him she already knows that he's the Messiah. So I don't know if this I am statement surprised her. So Jesus calls himself God. Then the next few words are important too. Jesus was actually making 2 claims here that should have shocked even a believing Martha. Jesus creates this brand new category. Notice he didn't say, I do resurrections, which would mean, yeah, I'll bring Lazarus back to life. I do signs. I do miracles. It's actually on my business card. But he takes this a next step further, and he said, I am the resurrection of life. Jesus is putting himself at the center of all future resurrections. Jesus is saying he's the source of all resurrections. He's just not doing one, but he's making it available for everyone. This is going to be a foreshadowing of what he's about to do on the cross in a very short time. Jesus is saying, this isn't what I do. He's saying, this is who I am. What she was missing was that the source of all resurrections and all life was standing right in front of her. His first claim is, I am the resurrection, which he explains by saying that the one who believes in me, even though they die, will always live. But he's also saying that he is the life. He's the source of life. And Jesus asks, you want to know what resurrection and life looks like? You're looking at it. It's me. Jesus not only called himself the resurrection and the life, he proved that he was who he claimed to be. He said it and then he proved it. It's one thing to say it. It's a whole other thing to prove it. Jesus heads to the tomb where Lazarus had been laying there for 4 days. Jewish spirituality taught that a dead person's spirit hangs out around the body for up to 3 days after death. They had this belief that someone could come back to life during this 3-day period. I guess they were just mostly dead, but after the 3 days, they were fully dead. But the fourth day was really important to them. They felt the person's spirit left the body and went to their final resting place on that 4th day. And at that point, there was no hope without a miracle. Jesus goes to the tomb and asks someone to roll the stone to the side. Now, sometimes wonder, Jesus was just about to raise someone from the dead. Don't you think he could roll the stone aside? I think that Jesus has shown us that Jesus wants you to participate in your miracle. For your sign, your miracle, Jesus always asks you to do something. It might be as simple as just asking someone for prayer. You know, Jesus asked people to do simple things to participate in their miracle. He asked one guy to pick up their mat, or even last week, he was told to wash the mud out of their eyes. But in this story, someone rolls away the stone. Jesus says a short prayer. John remembers Jesus saying this as he prays. Verse 42, Jesus says, you always hear me, but I say it out loud for the sake of those people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. Seems like Jesus prays so that others around him will see the sign that he's about to perform. They had to know that this was a sign, and Jesus was about to show them something. that he really was the resurrection and the life. Outside the tomb, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." It's one thing to claim that to be the resurrection and the life, but Jesus is showing it. This is a whole other thing. We've all heard promises. I love to hear promises, but for me, it's the person who follows up on those promises that are the people that I trust. Jesus says he's the resurrection, and then he shows it. Jesus shows that death is not an obstacle to him. Jesus just said he was the resurrection and the life, and he proved it by raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead after the fourth day in the grave is showing the world that this is truly a miracle, truly a sign. When Jesus called Lazarus to life from the dead, the people knew that he was the true Messiah. This last sign that Jesus shows us before the cross is that he is the resurrection and the life. So what is in your life right now that you think is dead, but with Jesus can come alive? Is there a situation that you're facing that you think there is no hope? You think that if only Jesus had shown up when you thought he should, things might be different. Maybe you've spent your whole life trying to find the resurrection and the life that Jesus promised, but you missed it because Jesus brings it as a person, not a miracle. All these signs that John shows us is challenging us to look beyond what happened and see the person. This sign of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead isn't something that happened once. Jesus is still the resurrection and the life, bringing life to you. He might not always show up when we want him to, but he always knows your pain. In the story, we even see him weep with his friends, even though he knew what he was just about to do. So no matter what you're going through today, know that there's a God who loves you, knows exactly what you're going through, and has a plan to be with you during your time of frustration and disappointment. What would it look like for you to take this next step and trust your future to Jesus, even though you might not see him working when you want him to? Let me pray for you today. Father, we are so grateful for all these signs that John records in his book. We're grateful that we can study them today and see that Jesus is who he really says he is. But Lord, right now, I just pray for those who just might need something in their life to come back to life. Lord, we know that you are the resurrection and the life. You can bring things that are dead in our lives back to life. So Lord, there might be a relationship that somebody is facing that just feels dead. Maybe they're on the verge of divorce, but Lord, with you, Lord, you can turn that around. There might be a child that somebody is just feeling is lost, but with you, you can turn that around. There might be a financial situation that somebody's facing right now that they just feel no way around, but Lord, with you, Lord, you're the resurrection and the life. Bring life to those situations. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back next week when we start a brand new series.
Thanks for joining us. If you are looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30. Our Abbotsford campus has 3 services each Sunday, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at cscc.ca/give. See you later.